Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 16, and the flute that I play in the beginning is like it's like the call to worship in a religious ceremony. It's the call to the podcast, and I'm calling all my podcast followers to come gather around and listen to my words of podcast wisdom. All right, man, it's really beautiful out here, and it's a Saturday afternoon, and it's sunny. It's summer. I don't know what the temperature is. I don't know what it is. It's probably in the 80s, but it's absolutely gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous out there, and tonight is tonight is the we'll be actually in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, when you're supposed to change the clocks again. We're going to spring forward, so we're going to lose an hour. I don't understand all this, but we're going to lose. It's going to get lighter later. And I talked to my mom today, and she told me my dad, they're three hours ahead of me. They're Eastern Standard Time. So if it's 3 o'clock here, it's 6 o'clock there. And I called about, noon. So my mom said my dad had already changed the clocks. He changes it the day before. He just doesn't want to make them. I want to be ready for I want to be so ready for when the time changes that I want to have the wrong time for an entire day so that when the new time comes, I'll be okay. And I was like, why don't you just do it before he goes to sleep? There's a lot of clocks here. How many clocks could they possibly, what do they got, like 87 clocks? What are they doing there? But that's my dad. He's obsessive. He's compulsive. And I don't know why. I know he is, or I know I am. I've got that, probably a genetic predisposition. Maybe it's from his parents. They came from Russia. So maybe they were pretty obsessive back in those days. I don't know. Maybe it was just sort of like, when they changed the clocks then, it was just like, well, hold on. What time is the pogrom? The pogrom starts at 12. Make sure. We're springing forward. So make sure because we want to make sure we don't miss the pogrom. And people come and try to lynch us. My mom is recovering very nicely from her, her challenges, her health challenges. Very grateful for that. And one way, she sounds like herself again. And I'm really, really grateful for that. And one way that I know that my mom, besides hearing it in her voice, that she sounds like herself, and one way I know that she's getting better is that she's starting to get on my nerves again. Yes. She's driving me crazy. Well, not driving me crazy, but she gets on my nerves a bit. And that's okay. She gets a pass. I got to give her a little pass now. She's, I had a little scared. And, when you think you're going to, when you start staring down the barrel of the end of this third-dimensional reality and, you see somebody maybe, that how much time they got left or whatever, and you start to realize how precious life is. And so you start to appreciate the smaller things, the little things. And I'm actually starting to appreciate my mom driving me a little crazy, Of course, I'm doing deep therapy work, with a great therapist, so that helps. And so that's great. And one other thing is I wanted to mention. I think when I first started my podcast, one of the first ones, was when we did the clocks back. We fell backwards, and now we're springing forward. So this is my 16th podcast. It's pretty cool. And I think Arizona is a state that does not change. They don't change the clocks. They keep it the same. And I respect that. I really think it's BS. I just think that we're all just we're just like lemmings following. All right, I guess we just, why are we doing this? Why can't we just put our foot down and say, listen, just keep the time the way it is? It really, it doesn't matter. And I was going to say something about Arizona, and they have the weird thing with the immigration. So maybe I was going to make a stupid joke about them springing a Mexican forward. Forget it. That's dumb. Okay? This is my podcast, and I can make dumb jokes. I'm saying again. There's a little, you know, a little gate update. I told you last time that they were fixing the gate and the intercom system as I was actually recording my show. And I didn't have a lot of faith in the guy. He looked a little, his demeanor seemed incompetent, you know, if I'm just judging by the way he carried himself. And so the other day, Wesley came over to do some work with me. And since now we are a secure building, the gate was locked. He couldn't get in. And I tried to buzz him in through the intercom, and that didn't work. It didn't work. And so I gave him the secret code, and he used that. I actually accidentally gave him the wrong one, and that worked for some reason. I don't know. But then I called our crack on-site manager, who's rarely on-site, Gus, and I told him that the situation, and he was just like, "Well, they just put a new intercom in." Okay, they did, but it's not working. Again, I'm sorry, it's not working. Okay? New, old, used. I mean, they probably put a used one in. You know, I mean, these guys, I think they just go for the cheapest, you know, most incompetent stuff. Just do it right. Get it done well once, right. Right one time, okay? I don't want to have to, you know, when somebody comes to visit me, I don't have to have a problem. You know, so that's the gate update, and I don't know. It may never be fixed. Maybe it'll be fixed. It should be fixed. And now with my podcast, because it has been, you know, I've been doing it for a while, and I kind of feel more comfortable doing it, and I'm getting great feedback. That's fantastic. You know, by the few people I know that are actually, you know, are listening to it. I don't have a system yet to track it, but we're about to take it to the next level. Wesley, I don't know if I mentioned last week, but Wesley went and took a real estate seminar, and from one of these real estate gurus. You know, I like to always they call these guys gurus. These guru, real estate guru, fitness guru. I don't know. Guru is supposed to be like a spiritual thing, I think. But anyway, this guy who was the guru guy was selling this program at the seminar because, you know, of course, you go to the seminar, that's not going to be enough. You got to get his entire program. And that cost like a couple $1,000 or something like that. But he also had like a drawing, a raffle, and Wesley won. It was great. And so, according to this fella, his marketing system for real estate can be applied to any business. And so Wesley has decided, very graciously, to test market it on me and my podcast, which is great. Now that's great. And Wesley's a great guy. That's the bottom line. You know, that's my, you know, kind of qualify this. You know, he's my buddy. He's helped me a lot. But he's also a guy that kind of, he knows it all. He kind of knows, you know, he knows it all. He's got the answer to everything, whether he's got it or not. And a case in point, we were talking about the marketing, and he was telling me that I had to get on Twitter. One of the things I had to do was get on Twitter. And I said, you know, that's interesting because I follow other comedians' podcasts, and that's what I hear a lot about Twitter. And so I'm totally willing to get on Twitter and totally willing to learn about tweeting. And I said it might be kind of a good creative thing too, because maybe once or twice a day, if I can say something funny or meaningful and put it out there, that'll be good for the soul. And he just, you know, he goes, "See, that's the problem," he said. My guy, he didn't say my guru, but you might as well have said, my guru says that, you know, most people don't know how to utilize Twitter. They just don't know how to do it. They don't do it the correct way. And I said, okay, well, what does he say is the correct way? And he paused and he said, I don't know. It's in my inbox. So, so you're defending something. We haven't even figured out what this guy said, and you're defending it. And I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what. Until we find out what this guy has said and to see if we can utilize it, how about I just do it the way I think, you know, the way I think it should or could be done, or I can do it, and I'll do it that way. And so that's what I'm doing, and I just joined. And I want to say that, no kidding, Twitter is a big old cluster F-bomb. And I'm not, you know, I don't use profanity on my show because kids might be listening. And it's not because I'm a prude, because in my personal life I use it all over the place. And also when I use it, I found in comedy, like when I've done stand-up and I've used it, my comedy filter seems to be off, and the anger comes through, and people just take it like it's more, just anger. No, it's not that funny. I can't seem to do like a lot of these other guys can do. They use my favorite comedians happen to be guys that use profanity. All right, that was a little aside. Anyway, Twitter is a big cluster F-bomb. I am telling you, folks, it is not. I don't get it. I'm following about 28 people. I went and followed a bunch of really big time comedians and some other ones that are doing fairly decently, just to see what they're saying. Very few of them are saying anything worthwhile. You know, one guy's like, oh, I'm in my hotel room eating peanut butter. Well, that's great. You know, I mean, that might be good if you're like a super duper fan. I am a fan of this guy, but. I don't know. I'm not 11 years old, and I care what you're eating in the hotel room. So I've got about 9 followers. I know what you're saying. Good thinking, Al. You are a Twitter monster. 9 followers. 9 people following me. You don't get 9 people following you by not being good. Okay? You gotta be special. You gotta be able to bring something to the table. To have 9 followers. All right, I've been on there for like 2-3 days. Now, the first day, Wesley was the first person to be my follower because he was with me. And, you know, quite frankly, he will follow me anywhere. No, just kidding. Anyway, so he followed me. And then later on, somebody who called himself God, and there's a bunch of people, I looked it up on Twitter, there's a bunch of people called God this, God that. This person was God something. And he was following me, and I was like, wow, God's following me. That's pretty okay. And I didn't bother to follow him because I was kind of being like, I don't know, like kind of reluctant to, I want to follow people that, I don't want to be spammed or whatever. But anyway, then it turned out like a few hours later, I go look on my Twitter and God stopped following me. So maybe because I didn't follow him or her, they got angry. You know, they didn't give me a lot of time. It was only a couple few hours later. And then they left. And then, all right, so then I get 2 or 3 followers at one point. And then I was up to like 5. And then I got this girl who I didn't even know who this girl was. And I looked her up on Facebook, and we have a mutual friend. And I was like, okay, well, maybe she, you know, somehow heard about me. I don't know. So I was feeling pretty good about myself. And then about a couple hours later when I went back on there, she dropped out. She stopped following me. You know, and I was tempted to write to her on Facebook and go, hey, what happened? How come you know, because I followed her. It's not because I'm not standing on ceremony. Anybody follows me, just to build up followers, anybody follows me, I'm gonna follow them. I'm not gonna make it a big so I followed her and a couple hours later, she was gone, and she wasn't following me, and I wasn't following her. Now I don't know if there's a glitch in the Twitter thing, but again, I'm telling you, it is a cluster F. They should just call it cluster F. You should just they should instead of tweets, you say I clustered, because these things come. One girl I know, she tweeted like I go on my page. And there's like 20 tweets in a row, like within 3 minutes from her. So I emailed her on Facebook, like, what's going on? And she accused me of being a cyber stalker. I go, I'm a cyber stalker. How am I a cyber stalker? It's on my page. I go on Twitter and there's, you know, 20 thing. I'm not stalking you. I'm just like trying to figure out why are, is that, this is, why are you doing so many tweets? It's like the same tweet over and over again. It seemed, I don't know. I didn't, sorry, getting worked up. I know she listens to this and I don't want to offend her. I like her very much. She's one of my podcast fans, but I just didn't understand. So I'm going to do my best to learn about this. Wesley is going to study what his teacher is saying about this, how, the best way to utilize it, and then you know I'll see if it resonates, and then I'll do that or not do that or whatever. So that's that. And I had an incident that happened this week, and I want to run by you guys. Kind of a friend of mine, he cut his own hair, and it looks great. He's never done this before, and I was complimenting him. I was saying, man, it really looks nice. I mean, you know, and he's a guy that's kind of like trying to find out what he really wants to do. You know, he's doing a couple of different things, and I said, you know what? I suggest, I said, if you can do that good of a job on yourself, you should go to like one of those, you know, haircutting schools and get your license and maybe do this. Might be a way to generate income, you know. And then he immediately says, yeah, I could cut your hair. Well, no, I don't want you to cut my hair. I've got a very competent, great hairstylist. No, I don't. And so right off the bat, it's becoming like a thing here. No, I don't. No, cut other people's hair. I'm giving you a cut. I'm just saying, whatever. It looks good. And then I just asked him, because the way his hair was, it was sort of like kind of styled, kind of cool. You know, and I said, do you put any product on the hair there? Do you put any product there? And he bends down. I'm sitting down in a chair. He bends down his hair and he goes, well, feel my head. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to feel your head. He goes, I'll feel my head. I go, no, I'm not going to feel your head. And he goes, why won't you feel my head? And he gets like all like hurt and offended. I'm go, because I don't want to feel your head. I mean, and he just like, it just couldn't fathom. Like I wouldn't want to feel his head. You know, and it's not like a homophobic thing, because I'm not homophobic. I mean, although I do feel like, you know, you feel a guy's head and before you know it, you know, you're giving it. No, I'm just saying. It really had nothing to do with homophobic stuff. I probably, even a certain girl. If a girl had like amazing hair, I would probably touch it. But most people, I'm just not gonna. You know, I'm not good at with the touching of the hair, or like people when they want you to take a bite. Here, eat off my fork. No, I don't want to eat off your fork. I just don't want your saliva. And I'm sorry. This is. Call me weird. I don't care. This is who I am. And he got real. He just seemed offended. And it's just like, you know, you never know what's going to offend somebody. Okay. You never know, because, you know, you get invited to dinner at somebody's house or whatever, and you're at the table and you burp and they throw you the heck out of there. Get out of here. That's disgusting. That's rude. And then you go in another culture and you do the same thing and you burp. And it's just like, and if you don't burp, they get angry, because burping is a sign of like, you know, oh, I had a great meal. Blah. So you don't know. You just don't know. And I mean, and with this guy, apparently my not touching his head was very offensive to him, and I didn't mean to hurt his feelings. I didn't mean to offend him. And I told him, it's not you. It has nothing to do with you. It's not that I think your head is dirty, or I don't like your head, or I don't like you. It's just that I do not want to touch your head. And he just looked at me. You're weird. That's weird, weird. And my unsolicited advice to him would be like, you know, sometimes you don't. You just have to kind of give people their whatever, their space or whatever. It's like a boundary thing. It's just like, you know, some people don't want to shake your hand. You know, Howie Mandel won't shake hands. He's like a germaphobe. I'm not really a germaphobe. You know, I'm a headaphobe. I'm ahead of my time-a-phobe. And so I hope he's, I'm sure he got over, I mean, he's not the kind of guy that's going to hold a grudge. But, you know, it was just kind of an odd situation. And so, you know, I just wanted to make, to bring that up. And, you know, and, you know, I mean, you know, like I said, it's not a homophobic thing. Although it does seem kind of, it's got, there is some homo-ness to it. There's a homo-ness to that touch my head kind of thing. You know, and, you know, I bet you if you polled gay guys, and that's a P-O-L-L, okay? I forget it. I don't want to go there. Anyway, and I think last but not least, I just want to mention that I had a massage this week. I had a deep, yesterday, Friday, a deep tissue massage that was unbelievable. I recommend it. I've had it from this woman before, and she's amazing. She's local here, so obviously she's local. I didn't fly to get a massage. I didn't fly to India to get a massage, although I would. So if anybody, you know, who's around here wants to know who she is, you know, hit me up on Facebook or Twitter. Email me, baby, and I'll tell you all about her. Well, I was telling her that, like, you know, I'll spread the word about her. And she asked me to make sure that don't send any perverts her way. Because, you know, I guess it is, you know, in that business, especially for a woman, it is a concern. And, you know, because massage, it's got a weird connotation. It's like, you know, it's just like, you know, especially with guys, you know, you say massage and the first thing is like, is there a happy ending? And I'll say with her, there is no happy ending, but at the end, you are happy. But it's a weird, in that profession, it's like, that's the only profession I can think of. You never, you don't hear about that, like a car mechanic. So, oh, he's a car, I'm a car mechanic. Oh, really? Is there a happy ending? When you, change my spark plugs? Do they have spark plugs in newer cars? I don't know. All right, now I'm rambling on and on and on. I apologize for my rambling. But, I recorded the podcast a little bit earlier, this week, because I had a few things to say and I wasn't sure. I think on the day that I was normally going to do it, I'm planning to go and do something else, which hopefully will end up on next week's podcast. But I'm hoping, like I said, to take this to the next level, market this, track where people are coming from, interact more with the people who like this. Maybe do a blog at some point, get a mailing list together. You know, really do this upright. Really make it, and you know, like I said, I don't know if this is ever going to be a business, this podcasting thing. I don't think anyone's making big money at this, but it's a very great creative thing to do, and it could drive, you know, it could help my stand-up business, and it could be a business. It could be a business. Why can't it be a business? I just love doing the old Jewish accent. It doesn't exist anymore, hardly. All right. Anyway, again, thank everybody for, you know, listening and all your great feedback. And just, you know, I don't know. I'm just kind of meandering here at the end. But, you know, until next time, this is Al Berman. Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.